You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast, www.savagelovecast.com.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
I opened last week's show with some comments on our new First Lady, Melania Trump, rattling off a long list of the things she's done that really pissed me off. The birtherism, the plagiarism, the punitive lawsuits, the hypocritical and sneering disregard for immigrants who aren't married to billionaires, the stated desire to profit off her position as First Lady. That one really made my head explode. And you might think I would leave it alone. I would talk about something else this week, maybe something sex-related, particularly after the wave of abuse I came in for online after making those measured, calm comments about the First Lady last week. Don't pity me. Pity the poor, tech-savvy, at-risk youth, because they're the ones who listen to all the calls as they come in. And man, there are lots of angry people out there. None of them regular listeners, but somehow they got our number. But I'm returning to Melania Trump at the top of this week's show because there's something I left out. Something big. Something I should have mentioned in my list, along with the plagiarism, the birtherism, the punitive lawsuits, and that is the anti-Semitism. Way back in May of last year, back when a Trump presidency still seemed inconceivable, and I will always treasure those memories of those days, the inconceivable days. Anyway, back in those days, the writer Julia Yoffe wrote a piece, a profile of Melania Trump that appeared in GQ, and it was, you know, I read it. It was generally pretty positive for the most part, but it did do what people who profile potential first ladies and presidents do. It dug into Melania's family history. Melania's family history back in Slovenia. And Yoffe wrote about a half-brother Melania's family has but doesn't acknowledge. And Melania was really pissed about the article, said so publicly, took to Facebook to scream and yell because it turns out that Donald Trump isn't the only thin-skinned Trump. And thin skin is apparently a sexually transmitted infection that we didn't know about. Anyway, Melania's fans, as she calls them, went after Yoffe. Yoffe is Jewish, and Melania's fans subjected Yoffe to just an appalling wave of anti-Semitic abuse. People tweeted images at her with her face photoshopped onto those of concentration camp victims. People called her phone numbers and played recordings of Hitler's speeches. She was sent crude drawings on Twitter of anti-Semitic characters of Jews being shot in the head and being told that she was next, and countless death threats. When Melania Trump was asked about what was being done to Yoffe, she said in an interview, "I don't control my fans. I don't agree with what they're doing. There are people out there who maybe went too far, but whose fault was that? Ultimately, whose fault? According to Melania, it was Yaffe's fault." Quote, "She provoked them," said Melania Trump. Donald Trump, for his part, was asked on CNN about the attacks on Yaffe, and he was asked by Wolf Blitzer if he wouldn't tell his fans to knock it off. He refused.
All right, let's talk a little bit about another story that's come out. And I know you hated this article in GQ about your wife, Melania. Julia Yoffe wrote it. She posted Melania was dishonest, inaccurate, a very tough piece. But since then, some of your supporters have viciously attacked this woman, Julia Yoffe, with anti-Semitic attacks, death threats. These people get so angry. What's your message to these people when something like that happens?
I haven't read the article, but I heard it was a very inaccurate article. And I heard it was a nasty article to them.
But your message to these fans is?
I don't have a message to the fans.
I don't have a message to the fans. Actually, Donald and Melania both sent messages to the fans. They sent out a signal that this kind of abuse, this kind of anti-Semitic abuse is okay, that it is permissible. Oh, maybe they'll condemn it in the mildest possible terms in Mrs. Trump's case, or not at all in Donald's case. But then they will quickly pivot to making excuses for bigots, like the bigots who've been blowing up our phone lines here at the Savage Lovecast all week.
You're nothing but a punk-ass motherfucker, and if I saw you in person, I'd put your teeth down the end of your asshole, you queer cocksucker.
First Lady's got more class than you'll ever have, you little cockbite.
You're the ugliest motherfucking guy I've ever seen in my life. You're probably ignorant and stupid.
and have no clue as to how to be polite and cordial and handle people properly.
People like you shouldn't have the right to open their big mouths.
Do me a favor. Go play in the freeway. Go jump off a bridge. Go blow your brains out.
You're a pickle-nosed scumbag.
I think you're ugly on the outside, but would that be bullying? I think you're a bully.
Dan Savage, I bet your wife's a skank.
Okay, two things quickly. First, I'll take that bet. I'll bet you my wife is not a skank. And I'll win that bet because, you know what? I don't have a wife. Ha! Psych! Always Google the person you're about to send idiotic, threatening messages to just so you don't fuck up. All right, and pivoting quickly to the insane argument that I am somehow bullying Melania Trump by saying that I don't like her, that I hate her even. Yeah, no. Bullying involves powerful people or a powerful person picking on a weaker person. And, you know, in the grand scheme of things, the First Lady of the United States and the President of the United States, these billionaires with access to nuclear codes and drone technology, they are more powerful than a sex advice columnist with a podcast and a filthy mouth. But you know what I'm willing to concede? Hate maybe was too strong a word. I don't know her, but I sure do dislike what she stands for. I strongly dislike some of the things she stood behind. Things like, again, birtherism. Things like her vile husband. And while maybe I don't hate her, I do hate the way she made excuses for and sent go-for-it signals to anti-Semites. And I do hate the not insignificant role Melania Trump played in disinhibiting the bigots out there, because you can draw a straight line from Melania Trump's "she provoked them" comment, which is really just that you had it coming, to the waves of bomb threats and cemetery desecrations we've seen over the last year, including this week one in Seattle, a block from my office. The inaction, not the inactions, the provocations of Melania and Donald Trump, their excuses. I hate that. That is hateful. And it is ongoing. The winking at anti-Semitism, the permission that the Trumps, the both of them, gave to the worst mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging bigots rattling around in our country, I hate that. As I was discussing with my skank wife this morning, I'm very offended by that. And then she kissed me on my pickle nose and sent me to work. All right. And coming up on the show today, we've got Amanda Marcotte here to talk about Beauty and the Beast, which opens this week. And in the Magnum edition of the Savage Lovecast, a long and I think very interesting conversation with Michael Hobbs, author of the long piece on gay loneliness that appeared at Huffington Post that everyone's been talking about on social media all week long. Coming up. Today's episode is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron delivers all fresh, high-quality ingredients and recipes you need to create delicious home-cooked meals. Get your first three meals for free by going to blueapron.com/savage. This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by going to casper.com/savagelove and entering the promo code SAVAGELOVE. The Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Nature Box. Delicious, healthy snacks shipped right to your door. For 50% off your first box, go to naturebox.com/savage.
I'll jump right into it. I was raised in King County, and I have a certain set of beliefs and a certain liberalism about me that I stand up for. And since now I live in a more conservative area, there's been a lot of pushback on those beliefs. Now, I'm not going to back down on what I believe in, and I'm going to stand up for LGBT rights. But it's getting harder. It's getting harder and harder every day. I've had so much pushback that I don't know what to do. I mean, I'm at work in the bathroom. I don't know if I can keep going. You know, it's disheartening when you have no allies in your area that will stand up with you. And I just want to hear from someone that someone stands with me on this. And it's easy to point to all the numbers of people that are standing against Donald Trump and standing for liberalism. But sometimes you need someone to say, they stand with you person to person or over the phone or anything like that. I mean, I've gotten pushback on social media about standing up for feminism. I mean, I'm wondering if anybody else you know of has had similar problems moving to more conservative areas from places like Seattle, from places like the Bay Area. And I could use some heartening here. I'm your ally all day. I need you to be my ally.
You say you left King County, which is where I am right now. King County is the county that Seattle, Washington is in, for someplace less liberal, tolerant, progressive, rational, and you're suffering for it. And what I want to tell you to do, beyond maybe finding a different job somewhere, if the place where you work now is so overrun with assholes that you are locked in a bathroom at work, as upset as you currently are, maybe you should get that resume out there. Maybe you should be looking for work elsewhere. And unemployment is at historic lows. Thanks, Obama. And there are jobs available to you. So you're not nailed to the floor there at that particular workplace. And it can help you if you're in a bad situation. It can help you endure it for as long as you are trapped in that bad situation. If you're actively making a plan and executing a plan to get yourself the fuck out of there. So that was my practical advice. Here's my impractical advice. Take heart and look around and get out there and find the people who agree with you, who probably they're there, but they may be not as willing as you are right now to stick your neck out. Maybe they've been bullied and shamed and harassed into keeping their own counsel and keeping their mouths shut. But we know that there are liberals and progressives in the shittiest, reddest states in the country, because we can see the vote totals. We can see the returns. Lincoln County is the reddest county in Washington state. King County, the bluest. Lincoln, the reddest. Donald Trump won 72% of the vote in Lincoln County, a county where people are overwhelmingly dependent upon Obamacare for their health insurance, went overwhelmingly for Donald J. Trump. 72%. But 22% of the people in Lincoln County voted for Hillary Clinton, and 4% voted for Gary Johnson, and 1% voted for Jill fucking Stein. So you are not alone. There are liberals and progressives, including some really stupid ones in Lincoln County. Smart ones who backed Clinton, and less smart ones who backed Johnson, and really fucking stupid ones who backed Stein. They're out there in Lincoln County. And your job, one of the ways you can keep yourself sane, is to find a way to find them so that you have some allies besides all of the allies you just acquired, all the people who just listened to your call, who will be calling in to express their sympathy and support and commiserate because you're not the only one out there in the situation that you're in. You have people in your community, wherever you are. And if you don't believe me, look up the precinct by precinct vote totals in your communities, and you will find that you are not the only Clinton voter or Green Party voter in your area. And your mission then, if none of the rest of them are wearing ITMFA t-shirts, is to go out and find them. Maybe there is an indivisible group that meets in secret in your area. Maybe there is a Democratic club in your area. Find your way in. Find your people. Find your allies. And don't for a minute tell yourself that because you're in a red state or you're in a county that went overwhelmingly for Donald J. Trump and has been represented in Congress by Republican knuckle-dragging shitbags who are supporting scrapping the Affordable Care Act, that you are utterly, utterly alone. You are not. You also are not nailed to the floor. And you can get your resume out there, and you can get a new job, and you can plan your escape. So, caller, our hearts go out to you. I'm sorry that you're trapped in a building with a bunch of shitty assholes. Thank you for speaking up for feminism. Thank you for speaking up for LGBT people. No one will blame you if you want to keep your own counsel for a little while for your mental health and go stealth and let them say whatever shitty things that they need to say or want to say or have to say without feeling compelled to challenge them in the moment until you have found a community in your shitty community, a better community within your shitty community, so you feel stronger and less vulnerable and less upset. And if you can't find those people, or if finding those people and they're out there aren't enough for you to live in that community and feel safe and whole and valued, get the fuck out. Move the fuck away. go somewhere sane. Escape from Lincoln County or wherever the hell you are right now. This episode of Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Casper. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing those savings directly on to you, the consumer. The Casper mattress provides long-lasting comfort and support, and I know this because me and my husband sleep on one every night. You can buy it easily online and completely risk-free. Casper offers free delivery and painless returns within a 100-day period, so you don't have to lie down in a showroom. And Casper's mattresses uphold the highest environmental production standards, and they're made right here in the USA. You can save an additional $50 as one of our listeners by going to casper.com/savagelove and entering the promo code savagelove. That's casper.com/savagelove and promo code savagelove. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, Dan. I'm a straight female living in New England, and I have a New York City fuck buddy. Last time we hooked up, I made a point to explain to him because he'd been seeing other people, and so have I, and he just recently had a kidney infection, that we should use condoms. So I went to New York, and we were hooking up, and then things were getting ready, and I was like, oh, do you want to wear a condom? And he said no, and just put it in. So it was at that point I decided, okay, you crossed the boundary. This isn't very fun anymore, and I don't really want to see him again. But my question is, should I tell him why? Do you think that we can learn from each other from talking about this? Or do you think that there'd be any benefit to bringing it up? That was a few weeks ago, but he still hits me up on social media and like texting and stuff. I don't really respond, but I just want to know, do I owe it to him or myself to really talk about it?
You don't owe him anything. You might want to tell him, though, why you're not interested in seeing him ever again. Because what he did was super fucked up, and it cost him any further access to you or your genitalia going forward. And perhaps in a future relationship, a future encounter, it'll come to him in the moment when he's being shitty that being shitty makes people want to not see you again. Being shitty gets your ass dumped. Being shitty gets women who might otherwise want to let you fuck them to stop returning your texts and calls and never wanting you to fuck them ever again. So yeah, you should tell him. He should know. I suspect that he may know. And a little pro tip, and not to blame the victim here, because you are the victim of the way women are socialized. Women are raised to not tell men what they want or what is allowed, or what their boundaries are, what their limits are, but to defer to men, to ask men what they want, when actually they're attempting in a bank shot way to tell men what they want. You said to him, do you want to wear a condom? Question mark. And he stuck his dick in you and said, no, he doesn't want to wear a condom. Next time, and err on the side of this in the future always, all women should, all of us as individuals, male or female, let's not gender this up too much, should err on the side of not asking someone what they want when we're trying to tell them what we require. In the moment, you required him to wear a condom because of his health issues for your own safety. But rather than saying, put a fucking condom on or your dick's not getting anywhere near the inside of me, you said, would you like to wear a condom? Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't give him the option of arguing with you or saying no or thinking it's up to him in that moment, if indeed you phrased it that way. No, would you like maybe to wear a condom? No. You will now put a condom on your dick or you will put your dick the fuck away. You're not going to put your dick in me without a condom on it. Go get a condom. So in the future, caller, all of us, women, men, non-binaries, all of us, don't ask someone a question when you're trying to tell someone something. Don't make a statement in the form of a question. Women are socialized to approach men in that manner. Instead of saying what you want, asking him if maybe what you want is also what he wants. And then if what you want is what he wants too, then you don't have to have a confrontation because you're on the same page. You don't have to risk telling a man what you want. You don't have to risk seeming like a castrating bitch or whatever the fuck it is that the culture tells you you are if you tell a man X, you want X. Yeah, don't do that. Don't fall into that trap. Hey, nice dick there. You want to put a condom on that? Because if you're not putting a condom on that, you're going to have to put it the fuck away. That's how you do it. That's how you say it. Ladies, fewer question marks, more periods. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. They are careful about the ingredients they source so you can feel good about using them. And Terry and I, legit straight up, are big fans of the service and we eat better now because of it. Their meals are also incredibly delicious and it stretches the boundaries of what we would normally cook. We are cooking vegetarian now two nights a week. We are people who there had to be meat on the plate. We regarded the plate like we regarded the mattress. Had to be meat on it for us to be interested. Not anymore. Vegetarian two nights a week. You should check out what's available this week. If you want to sign up, they have smoky seared cod with roasted potatoes and dates and the gayest item on the menu, mushroom and goat cheese quiche with arugula salad and pink lemon vinaigrette. Make it for your whole family. Turn your kids gay. Get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/savage. Program note, you can't turn your kids gay by serving them pink lemon vinaigrette, just so you know. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/savage. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Hey, Dan. Straight male in the Southeast. I guess I'm calling, trying to figure out a situation. My morning has been awesome. I found out just today, see, a month ago, I kind of had my heart shattered by a young, beautiful blonde. And I found out today that my friend of 17 years fucked her after dealing her some weed before I left for a job. I work in the film industry and I'm about to manage my first show and I hired him to work it with me in March. And now I'm freaked out because he's going to ride down 5 hours to where we're shooting a little indie film and he's going to be staying with me for 3 weeks in a hotel. And I've confronted him about it. He says he feels terrible, but I can't help but want to kill him. He was the only person who was there with me when me and this girl broke up, and so he saw how it affected me, so I'm a little more pissed that he could do that afterwards. I really just want to know what the hell I should do. I can't fire him. He's locked in, and I need the help. He's the only person I know who's available for work right now. So I guess I'd just love to hear your thoughts.
So did I get you in time? Have you killed your friend yet, or is your friend still alive?
My friend's still alive. I've actually talk to him after a couple of days of not speaking.
And how'd that conversation go?
After I thought a little bit, I told him he's a giant idiot, but that I wasn't going to throw away almost 16 years of friendship over basically
a mistake his dick made.
Yeah, a mistake his dick made.
Mm-hmm. Because on the one hand, I want to say, you know, often in straight land, and I assume you're straight, not bi. Are you straight? Can I say that?
I'm curious about the month.
Okay, you're mostly straight. Straight identified.
Yeah, I'm mostly straight.
Straight functioning. But asterisk, who knows? And under the right circumstances, who knows? In straight land, it's a much more taboo thing to sleep with the ex of a friend. And we don't have that luxury in gay land because there's so many fewer of us that you know, a lot of us also have a lot of sexual contacts and partners and relationships. So if, you know, anybody that a friend of yours had slept with was out of bounds, you wouldn't be able to sleep with anybody ever after a while. And you would have to move to a new city or continent every once in a while just so you could fuck somebody. So we don't have that luxury. So we don't have that taboo. And so part of me, you know, when I first heard your call, I was like, dude, come on. Gonna get over this shit. But then part of me was like, and get over it, and it's not a problem in gay land, so it's really hard for me to empathize. But on the other hand, this is a friendship of 17 years and he was with you when you got your heart shattered and I don't want to say by this woman, because it's not something she did maliciously. You know, relationships go tits up every once in a while, and you know, if you're one of the protagonists in that drama, you want to shift or assign blame, but you know, shit happens and things don't work out, and that's part of the game. And if you can't handle getting dumped and having your heart shattered every once in a while, don't date. Be celibate, because that's bundled with that shit. But he was there for you. He watched how destroyed you were in the moment, and it just seems like, if I was talking to your friend, like, okay, so you want to fuck this woman, you can eventually, maybe not right this minute, maybe not while your friend of 16, 17 years is still sobbing. Maybe now's not the time to stick your dick in his ex-girlfriend, but that time may come. And the mark of your friendship is that you held out for a little while, not that you never did.
Yeah, I think that's what I kind of was more upset about.
Yeah,
he just put in.
Yeah, even knowing that, this is me talking from Gayland, even knowing that you being angry and upset that your friend slept with your ex might be slightly irrational and a little unfair and not something we would do in Gayland, your friend had to know that this would be unwelcome and painful for you. Even if it was unfair, because I don't think we have dibs forever on anyone we've ever touched with our penises in gay or straight land. I think that's an unrealistic expectation and an irrational demand to make upon your friends. Because sometimes you date somebody, doesn't work out for you, and they may be the right person, the 0.64 or the 0.68 that somebody that you know could round the fuck up to one, and they're supposed to never date that person just because you dated them first and it didn't work out? No, of course not. You have to suck that up and be the grown-up and be happy for them. But just like a casual one-off, fuck your really close friend's ex-girlfriend in the wake of their traumatic for him breakup, kind of a dick move, literally a dick move.
Yeah.
In every sense.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I told him. I told him he was an idiot. She's a piece of work, but he should have known better.
Mm-hmm. And are you guys going to... I hate to use this phrase, especially on a show where I had Amanda Marcotte on, but are you guys going to bro before hoe this? Are you guys going to put it behind you?
Well, I had to make a business decision as well because I hired him. So I kept him. And yeah, so he's going to come work with me.
That's what I thought. You're going to have to suck this up.
Yeah. So that's why I had to have the conversation. He's best at what he does and what I hired him for. So I'm not going to give him up over a dumb decision that we make with our dicks. It just happens.
I'm curious what he does beyond sell weed and fuck his friend's ex-girlfriends, but I don't want you to tell us because we don't want to identify or out anybody.
Exactly.
So I hope he's as good at whatever the job is, whatever the gig is, as he is at seducing or fucking or being seduced by, we don't know what went down, his close friend's exes.
I hope so, too.
I'm glad you called him. I'm glad you had the conversation. I think that I predict that this will be something that you guys in a few years will laugh about. It'll always be filed as a shitty thing you did, but you will come to have a sense of humor about it. And you should ask your gay friends. You're in the arts. I'm sure you know lots of gay people. And ask your gay friends how they handle this when somebody that they broke up with or were hooking up with hooks up with somebody else, a close friend that they know. And what you'll find is they tease each other about it, laugh about it, even if there's a stone in the shoe, even if there's a little bit of pain there, you just have to have a sense of humor about it. That's what cauterizes those wounds.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we will get past it.
Well, good luck and better luck on your next relationship, and don't introduce your next girlfriend to him ever.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Sure thing. And good luck with the film.
All right. Thanks.
What do you do when you want a snack, but all you can find is junk food? Rely on your self-control to resist the temptation? Please, you eat the junk food. So, avoid junk food and start snacking healthy by subscribing to NatureBox. Here at the Lovecast, when we learned that NatureBox was going to start advertising again, a collective holler went up among the tech-savvy at-risk youth because they love the snacks NatureBox sends to us. NatureBox makes snacks that actually taste great and are better for you, created with high-quality ingredients that are free from artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners, so you can feel great about snacking. My personal favorites are the creme brulee peanuts and the aged cheddar lentil loops. I know, it sounds crazy. Freaking delicious. NatureBox recently made their service even better. Now you can order as much as you want, as often as you want, with no minimum purchase required, and you can cancel at any time. It's simple. Just go to naturebox.com and check out their snack catalog. There are over 100 snacks to choose from, and they're constantly adding delicious new snacks. Choose the snacks you want, and they'll deliver them right to your door. With NatureBox, you will never get bored. There are new snacks each month inspired by real customer feedback, and if you ever try a snack you do not like, NatureBox will replace it for free. And right now, NatureBox is offering you guys 50% off your first order when you go to naturebox.com/savage. That's naturebox.com/savage for a whopping 50% off your first order. Again, naturebox.com/savage. Oh, you guys, the live-action remake of Beauty and the Beast opens this week, and I'm really excited about it. Emma Watson, Josh Gad, there's a gay character, or a character they're finally going to admit is a gay character in a Disney movie. What's not to love? I'm sure everyone just can't wait for this movie to open. I'm sure you can't wait. And now here to ruin it for us and everyone is a feminist. Amanda Marcotte, politics writer for Salon. Thanks for jumping on the phone.
Thanks for having me. I enjoy ruining movies for people.
You laughed. I made a joke about humorless feminists and you laughed. So you clearly disproved that bullshit that feminists don't have a sense of humor. But you have a problem with Beauty and the Beast. Can you unpack it for us?
Yeah, I mean, I want to preface that by saying, you know, it's a fun movie, the cartoon, it has good songs. I understand why people like it. I'm not bagging down anyone for liking it. But, you know, the movie, if you take it as an allegory and as a feminist or as a fairy tale, I think you should always take it as an allegory, is literally telling women, the very thing you really don't want to tell little girls, which is, the way to get a handsome prince who treats you right is to hang in patiently and put up with a beast bullshit for months, years maybe, you know, and eventually you can change him through the power of your love. And, you know, I think that that's a problematic message on many levels. And the number one way I think that's a problem is that that's exactly the narrative that women use and are sort of bullied into using to stay with men that are abusive. You know, it's difficult when you're in an abusive relationship to leave sometimes because you've been absorbing messages primarily through Beauty and the Beast, but others like it, that what a bad man needs is a good woman's love. And if you just hang in, he'll change.
You know what my number one problem is with it? Is that so many young girls fall for it. Some days when we do this show, half the calls are women who need to be told, I say it more crudely than you do, or you just did, that their love isn't magic, that their pussy isn't chemotherapy, that it's not going to fix or cure the guy, and that they can leave, and that they should leave. And so it's not just that women get this message. So many women believe it, and it really harms them in life and in their relationships. I can't count the number of times I've had to like call somebody back and grab them by the shoulders and shake them and say, leave him. Your love isn't magic. Your love isn't going to change him. It's not going to fix him. People need to be in good working order to be in a relationship. Being in a relationship isn't going to put you in good working order. So as much as I'm excited to see the movie, I read what you were saying about Beauty and the Beast, and I was like, oh yeah, she's right. And I am very familiar with that dynamic because I hear it all the time.
Yeah. I can't say that I haven't lived it, and I've definitely seen it a lot. And, you know, I speak from personal experience here. You know, I was a little girl once, and I liked Beauty and the Beast, and I liked fairy tales. And it's only as an adult woman that I look back and I go, oh, that was really toxic.
So how do we enjoy the fairy tales without succumbing to the toxins? Is that possible?
You know, that's a really tough question. I mean, I got an English degree in college, so I love the notion that as long as we are honest with ourselves and analyze the political messages of movies and novels and all that, we can enjoy the art while not necessarily accepting the message. And I think that that's true for adults. I don't know that I believe that children are capable of that, though. I mean, so I'm not a parent, but I would suggest that parents at least try. You know, if you let your kid watch Beauty and the Beast, maybe talk to them about why it's, you know, not a good idea to just let some man hold you in the home until you love him under the guise that it will change him.
Yeah, like let some guy lock you up and hold you captive and under duress and coerce you into staying by threatening your family. And then you the power of your love, your magic chemotherapy pussy will cure him. Probably not how it's going to work out in the long run.
No.
So while we have you on the phone, can we toss a Savage Lovecast question at you?
Yeah.
Hi, Dan. I'm a 24-year-old
a single white female, just got out of a 4-year relationship just a couple months ago. I have a question about online dating, Tinder and Bumble. And a weird experience I had with it. So I've been going on a lot of dates now that I'm single, you know, going out to dinner, going out to drinks, and then sleeping with a guy if I find him attractive. And it's been fun. I've had a few flings, things that have lasted, you know, a couple weeks and then cut loose. Nothing dramatic, no big deal. But recently I had a thing with a guy, and when we kind of got down to the defining the relationship, where I say my usual thing of, you know, I just got out of a relationship, I'm busy and I'm not looking for anything more than casual sex, but if you want to continue having casual sex, that's fine. He kind of freaked out. He had been really sexually explorative. I'm pretty kinky myself, so I was excited to meet someone who shared in my kinkiness. We had just had anal, which was, you know, an intense experience. It always is. And he had kind of crossed the boundary with that. He went a little too fast. I said stop, and he didn't, and was pretty rough. This was right after I said to him, you know, I didn't want to date him. I know I probably shouldn't have told him that right before we hooked up. But he then intentionally, after sex, burned me with a cigarette and said, haha, now you'll never be able to forget me. He told me that he hates women. He's kind of had this problem before where he starts to have a relationship and then the woman doesn't want to take it further. I don't know why I stayed, but I guess I was just trying to calm him down a little bit. But he continues to tell me about his really just kind of fucked up life a little bit, everything that he's been going through. I'm a really empathetic person by nature. I felt really bad for him. I kind of talked him through some stuff, listened to him for a while. I try to leave it on good terms, like, hey, we can, you know, we can be friends. But it's been 2 days, and the more I think about it, the more I just realize, like, wow, I'm not cool with how that went down. But I feel kind of terrible. I mean, he really put himself out there. He already has a lot of self-hate, and he obviously hates women, and I don't want to be another woman he just kind of says is a bitch and is awful and women are terrible. So I don't know what to do. I don't know whether I should try and keep a friendly and supportive relationship, or if I should just cut all ties. I've only known this guy for about 3 weeks, so I really don't want to be involved, but I just kind of feel bad for him and maybe responsible, not responsible, but like I should help.
Oh, wow. Yeah, just what we were talking about, huh?
Yeah, kind of. And she is really mistaking, you know, that's not empathy that she's feeling. That's Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, I mean, you can really, really hear it there. And I almost don't want to blame women because that's how they get you. That's like, for instance, a story like Beauty and the Beast, but other narratives like it, they kind of play on your desire to be a good person, to be a loving person, to be mm-hmm. a kind and generous and understanding person. But then you see scumbags like that just take advantage of it.
Oh, my God. And burns her with a cigarette, violently fucks her in the ass, tells her he hates women, and she's calling me some other man, right, to get permission to not talk to him anymore. I'm a little wrecked by this call. It makes me, you know, I like her, and you know, I like people who are loving and empathetic and kind and compassionate. I hope to be that kind of person myself one day when I grow up. Not there yet, on the way though. And yet, is she just so duped by the culture? Has she been so brainwashed by the culture that she doesn't feel that as an autonomous individual, she has the right to cut this person out of her life after he violated her in this way, after he burned her with a cigarette? That's some CIA torture shit.
Yeah, I mean, when we say that women are socialized to be ever generous and understanding to men, I think this is a really good example. And you know, it's training you for your own health and safety. You have to shuck off.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter. You know, she has this ability to tap into what he might be feeling. He's obviously struggling with self-hate. He obviously has these issues with women. I don't want to make his issues with women worse by running from him like I should, like any rational person would, because she thinks it's her responsibility to repair him.
Yeah, it's such a strange thing. And I mean, if you really step back and think about it, this notion that every woman is kind of an unpaid nursemaid for any man that just asks. And yet, it's undeniable. The evidence is there that a lot of people have absorbed that message, possibly through Disney movies. And you know, it you see a woman accepting even this level of just overt abuse. And it saddens me because I also, you know, you go, if you have a dark, dark soul like I do and you spend too much time on Reddit, you will actually see men kind of training each other and telling each other to take advantage of women this way, you know, to press their boundaries and see how much they'll put up with and still stick around.
Oh, that's it. Why do women even talk to men? There's that famous Louis C.K. stand-up routine about where he wonders why women even will look at men, much less go on a date with men, considering all the psychological violence, physical violence that, you know, women are likely to be murdered by a male intimate partner than by anybody else. Why do women look at men? Says the dude who sleeps with guys himself. Why?
For the same reason you do, Dan. I mean, you know.
Because we love our testosterone-soaked dick monsters.
The patriarchy, as it was, exploits our need to get laid and to have companionship.
Okay, so just directly address the caller. Would you, Amanda, would you tell her what to do so that I don't have to be a man telling her what to do?
Yeah, I mean, I would never talk to this guy again, and I would also consider calling the police.
Why did you go with I statements there instead of being prescriptive?
If I were her, that's what I would do.
No, I want you to tell her what to do. You should do blank.
You should never speak to that man again, and you should consider calling the police.
Oh my God, I just ordered you around. I just told you what to do, and now I feel like a tool of the patriarchy myself.
No, I mean, you're right, you're right. Just, there I am being very socialized like a woman. I can't even just use the commanding voice.
That's kind of what I thought when you did that, I said tell her what to do and you shifted into what you would do, which is kind of a gentle, like socialized as a woman way to suggest to someone what they might want to do without telling them what to do. And I'm, you know, I tell people what to do all the time. I feel completely entitled to tell people what to do. Because they call my show and they ask me what they should do, and I fucking tell them. And I want you to do the same from here on out. This was all an intervention for you, Amanda, this entire interaction.
Get a little boss here.
Yeah, I read your stuff. I love your stuff. I follow you on Twitter. And I just feel that you're too shy and you're too demure and deferring.
You were the first person to ever tell me that.
Because it's not true, which is why I love your stuff and why I read you and why I follow you on Twitter. Amanda Marcotte, politics writer at Salon, thanks for jumping on the phone.
Thank you.
And thank you for ruining Beauty and the Beast for all of us. We appreciate it.
I can do Little Mermaid too if you ever want.
Just please don't touch bed knobs and broomsticks. That has a place in my heart.
Yeah, no, that one's probably okay.
Hey, Dan, I am a 20-something gay guy living in New York City, and I have a question for you. I'm an actor. I wait tables in between gigs, so I'm on the broker side probably, and I work at a gay bar as one of my survival jobs, and I had a guy contact me through Instagram asking for me to sell him my sweaty socks. And after some hesitation and some weirdness, just messaging him through that, he Venmo'd me some cash and I left them at a random Starbucks and he went and picked them up. So I never met him. I've asked him for a picture of himself and he gave it to me and I'm not even sure if it's him, the picture that he sent. Anyway, now he's asking me for some of my semen. And I want to because she's going to pay me a good amount of money for it. But I'm a little nervous. Like, what if this guy's like crazy and he like frames me for like a murder or something? I don't know. He also has commented that he's seen me at work at the gay bar. So he can see me, but I can't see him. So it kind of freaks me out, but maybe I should just like relax. I'm a pretty sex positive and non-judgmental person, and this is easy cash. Yeah, just let me know what you think of it.
Let's game this out. You give him your semen, you sell him a vial of your semen or some semen stained, whatever it is he requested your semen to arrive in, and he frames you or attempts to frame you for murder. Your semen turns up on the body or face of some murdered person two states over. And the cops come to arrest you because your DNA is in the database, I guess, somehow. That would also have to be a thing. That would also have to happen for him to successfully frame you, or have happened already for him to successfully frame you by planting your semen on someone. And the cops show up and you show them this exchange you had. You show them the text messages or the DMs you exchanged with this person on Instagram, and you show them how cavalier and promiscuous you have been with sharing your semen with complete strangers. And I kind of think that probably will be enough of an alibi to get you off in the end if the cops show up at your door at all. I think you're overthinking this. I think your worries are misplaced. I don't think that that's a real concern. That said, it is creepy that this person knows what you look like, that this person knows how to contact you, that this person knows where you work, and you know nothing about this person, and they sent you what is highly likely to be a fake picture. That's all unnerving. Now, perhaps this person is just embarrassed or ashamed about their thing for dirty socks and their thing for acquiring the semen of hot people on Instagram through kind of espionage style drops in random Starbucks all over Manhattan. Who knows? But you have leverage here. He wants your semen and he wants to pay for it. And you want to know a little bit more about him so that you're comfortable selling him your semen or selling him future pairs of sweaty socks. So you say to him, look, I'd love to sell you more socks. I'd love to sell you more underwear. I work in a gay bar. A little bit about that is, you know, inviting people to lust over me, and I'm fine with being lusted over, but I need to know who you are. I need legit contact information. I would like to meet you in person, and I will hand you my semen in a vial or in my underpants or however you want it. But for you to get my semen, you're going to have to give me more than whatever the pile of money is. You're going to have to give me some peace of mind, a little comfort. And my mind can only be set at ease if I know I'm sharing these things that I'm happy to share and delighted to be paid to share with a real person that I can trust. So let's meet, shake hands. You can hand me the money. I will hand you the semen.
Hi, Dan. I'm calling because I actually had a comment for somebody in the most recent episode. The girl who was going to get pregnant from the known donor. I recently got some advice from one of my best friends that whenever you have somebody ask you a question that you're uncomfortable answering, the perfect response is to just say, why do you ask? It kind of lets you out of the question and makes them uncomfortable instead. And when they give you some bullshit reason or maybe come up with some reason as to why they asked you a very personal question, you could say, interesting, and just walk away.
Hi, Dan. This is a response to the woman in episode 541 who's planning to have a baby with her friend as a sperm donor. In the call, she mentioned not being sure when she would tell her future child the truth about their conception, and I just wanted to say that she should tell them as soon as they ask. My mom had me through an anonymous donor, and she never made it a secret. When you grow up knowing something, it just becomes normal and simply never becomes a big deal. Even if they're too young to really understand the logistics of it all, just keep telling the truth anytime they ask, and as they get older, they'll figure it out. But if you seem like you're not answering their questions when they're young, it might lead them to think something's weird or wrong, when in fact, you just made an awesome decision. Good luck.
Hi, Dan. I'm calling in regards to episode 541 about the cats. You have a lot of really good points. Yeah, this guy should be washing his face and hands. Duh. Kitty litter on the bed. That's weird, you know, obviously. But The fact of the matter is, you cannot keep cats out of your bed. I'm sitting here. I have two cats. I just know it's impossible to keep cats out of your bed. Once they're on your bed, if that's where they want to be, you try to remove them, they're going to hop right back on there. There's nothing you can do about it. Cats are stubborn little creatures. The thing is, you can close the door, but they're just going to make noise all night long. They're just going to make really, really sad noises, really annoying noises, and you're not going to get any sleep, and you're not going to be able to fuck because it's really, really distracting. And even if they're not making noises, their little claws and little paws are going to be underneath the door making scratchy noises. So there's just nothing you can do. Cats are stubborn. They're not going to get off the bed.
And we're going to leave it. Actually, not quite there. We're going to leave it.
I bet your wife's a skank.
There with my skanky wife. 206-302-2064 is the number here at the Savage Lovecast. If you want to record a comment or a question for a future show, please give us a call. 206-302-2064. We have a live taping of the Savage Lovecast coming up in Portland, Oregon. We're returning to Revolution Hall on April 14th. Join me and Nancy and the tech-savvy at-risk youth and Jesus Christ for a very special sexy Easter extravaganza. Get all your sex and relationship questions answered live with special musical guests Rachel Lark and the Damaged Goods. Like I said, sexy Jesus will be there. Treats, bunnies, chocolates, baskets, live crucifixions on stage, and more. Go to portlandmercury.com/Easter for tickets. Follow me on Twitter at @FakeDanSavage. Follow Amanda Marcotte on Twitter at Amanda Marcotte. And follow Michael Hobbs on Twitter at @RottenInDenmark. Be sure to read my sex advice column, Savage Love, every week in Leo Weekly in Louisville, Kentucky, and other newspapers all across the country. Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Hartunian and me and the tech savvy at-risk youth and Nancy. We will all be back at you next week with an installment of the Savage Lovecast. Thanks for downloading.